Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, the fundamental divisions of time and life are the events that have already occurred, the current moment that we're in, and what is yet to come. When we want to think about our life, each one of us, we know them as past, present, and future in our lives. I heard it once said that every sinner has a past and every saint has a future. And so each one of us are acquainted with all three of these in our life because there's something that we all have in common. We have our past, we have our present, and we have our future ahead of us. But one of these three has a tendency to become a trap in our life or a snare in our life if we're not careful and keep us from enjoying the other two. One of these time frames or time zones in our life has a tendency to trap us. And this can happen in an individual's life, and it can also happen in a church body. And we all know, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's the past that can trap you if you're not careful. It's the past that can become a snare in our life. It can become a snare in a church body. And I know I mentioned a little bit about it a couple of weeks back, but I felt to go ahead and speak on this subject once again this morning. Can I tell you something about the past that literally does not exist anymore? You've been there, done that. It's behind you, it's over, it's done. How many can say praise God? Someone said, would you like to go back and be 18? Only if I could bring this head with me. But you know, many people in churches are living in this non-existing place. Living in a non-existing place that's not there anymore. And can I tell you this morning, it is not healthy. It is not healthy for us to live in that particular zone, that particular area of our life. Now, if someone was to ask me about a passage in the Bible that deals with the past, I usually would have them turn to Philippians chapter 3 because I don't believe there's a better message than what Paul wrote there in the third chapter. But this morning, I want to look at Isaiah 53, verses 18 through 19, for a topic of let it go and grab on. If we look in Isaiah 43, before we get there, chapter 41, let you get familiar a little bit, chapter 41 and 42, we find the content of God delivering Israel out of captivity, Babylonian captivity. And he's there and he's speaking to them. Did you know they're there for 70 years because their rebellion against God? And God spoke from one prophet to the other prophet to the other prophet and said, you're going in. Sometimes God has a moment in our life that brings you into that. And this is what happened with Israel. God says, you're going to go. I'm going to teach you a lesson there. And the Babylon captivity. But I think it's good for us to always remember that even when God is in that phase of maybe discipline or that phase of chastising us, that he's always concerned about us in the midst of that. And sometimes people think, well, God has wrote Israel off. Let me tell you, God has never wrote Israel off. God is still about Israel. And when we go into that disciplinary, it's not like God is punishing us forever, but God is trying to bring something good out of that. And we find this in Isaiah chapter 41 and also 42. And he's trying to encourage them. And I think what he says to them can encourage us also this morning. Chapter 43 has more to say about the very thing of captivity that God was speaking to the Israelite children as they went into that 70-year period of captivity. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says this, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, Jacob is Israel, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now let that sink in just for a moment. He's speaking to a group of people that are in captivity at his command. But he's saying, I want to remind you that you are mine. I have redeemed you and you belong to me. You know what the enemy does not like? He does not like Israel. He doesn't like Jerusalem. Why? Because God has put his name tag on it. He says, they're mine. Can I tell you this morning, he does not like you. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're his possession. He has redeemed you, and you belong to God this morning. It just makes you an enemy of the enemy, the enemy of the devil. Let me tell you, that's not a bad place to be, because I read, and we're reading in Wednesday nights as we cover the book of Revelation, and I want to so much jump to the end, we find out that the devil gets defeated. Amen? So it's the same thing. Everything God has spoken about Israel will come to pass. But here we have this situation. He's speaking to them, and he says, I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And then he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. How many agree they were passing through the waters at this moment in their life? He says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. In other words, talking about the trouble that they're going through, he says, I will be there with you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Oh, the Lord is telling them at that moment, even though things are difficult, even though things are tough, I will be with you. That's God. Can I tell you, he says the same thing for you and I in our lives. When we go through those troubling times, when we go through that water, when we go through the river that's about to consume us, or when we go through the fire, God says he is with us. And then he says this. Then God says he will destroy the captors. Those that are holding them captive, we find in Isaiah 43, 14, and 15, he says this to them. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sakes I will send an army against Babylon, and forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. He says, not only will I encourage you, not only of I'm speaking into your situation, but he said there's coming a point that I will deliver you out of the captivity that you're in. How many of you think you're ready to be delivered this morning? Ready to get out of that thing that's holding you back? Waiting to be set free of the captor that's in our life? And this is what he speaks to them. So he's talking to them. And keep in mind, the whole time he's saying these things, they are in captivity in Babylon. Says a lot about our God. See, God is trying to get them to look toward the future. He gives them instructions about the past, the present, and the future to encourage them. God is bringing them out of a bad past and giving them something to look toward, giving them a future to say, it's going to get better. We've all had that saying, and we've heard it, I believe. I know the older folks have, this too shall pass. Where do we get that? Is it literally written in the Scripture? No, but it is a take from the Scripture that we know that God will bring us through those moments. This too shall pass. Now, starting with verse 18, he gives them some instructions. So let's look at what we're going to look at. Do not remember the former things. He's speaking to them. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your word that is a lamp under our feet, a light under our path. And Lord, I don't know where each person in this sanctuary is, or those that are walking, or those that are watching online. Lord, where their walk is with you right now. Lord, there are some perhaps feel like they have been chained down by something, God. But Lord, I'm praying today that your word, God, would bring liberty. It would bring freedom, God, in this church. Freedom, Father, in our own personal walks with you, Father, today. Lord, I ask for your anointing to preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at some things about this thing that we call the past for a moment. The first thing, if we want to get out of the past, we got to do one thing. We got to do this first, is we got to put it behind. Put it behind you. If you're going to get rid of it, if you're going to move out of it, you got to put it behind you. In other words, don't live there. Don't live there anymore. Matthew Henry said, this is about verse 18. Remember not the former things, from them to take occasion, as some do, to undervalue the present things that are going on in your life, as if the former days were better than these. The past, the things, the former things are relating to how God had manifested himself among them. When we're looking at the scripture in the previous years, we can reference that to verse 16 of how he brought them out of Egypt. And it's almost like Gideon would say when the Lord found him thrashing the wheat at night where nobody could see him. And Gideon said this to God when God was trying to call him into a greater walk, call him into a better future. He said, hey, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, you talking to me? But God was speaking to him. He had a future there. But Gideon said this in response to God's words over his life. He says, and Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all that befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. How many know that is the mindset when life is not going well? That's the mindset when the present doesn't seem to be meeting your needs. That's the mindset that we look back. Where is the God that brought the joy into my life? Where is the God that I felt at the moment of salvation? Where is the God that brought and filled me with the Holy Ghost? Where is he at today in my present time? Was it not better back then? Is what Gideon was basically saying. You know, God was trying to do something with Gideon's life. He was trying to move him out of thinking in the past and looking into the future. He would say, Gideon, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to go forward in my walk, in my life, in my walking with me, you're going to have to leave all that behind you. You're going to have to leave it in the past and not bring it back. Can I tell you, remembering the past is not a bad thing to encourage us and also to remind us of what God has done and even how he did it. But we cannot live in the shadow of it. We can't live in the shadow of what's happened behind us. We cannot live in the shadow of the bad, the good, and all the ugly that's back there. Many churches talk as if God only moved back then. This was the same attitude of those in captivity. All they could talk about is how God did this and God done that. But yet, God was present in the midst of them at that moment. Can I tell you this morning that the past can hold you captive? I've seen it over and over again. God starts to try to move as he did in Gideon's life, but yet you would say something like, God, I'm not qualified. God, you don't know what I did. Well, I beg to differ with you. God knows everything that you've done in your whole life. That's spooky, isn't it? I've often heard God doesn't call the qualified, but it qualifies the call. And sometimes the enemy will let you round around. He'll keep you living in the guilt of your mistakes and the guilt of your one moment of failure, even as Christians. How many know Christians can fail every now and then? And the enemy will capitalize on that. We watched a preacher last week that failed a little bit. And everybody has an opinion, but can I tell you this morning, God has the right opinion. I'm just saying today, sometimes our past can hold us captive. Listen, I wasn't born saved. I got saved later. And God takes whatever back there, I can use it. God didn't mean me for me to go through the life I did, but I can use some of that. But God brought me. But yet at the same time, the enemy will try to hinder you from going forward when the past keeps you captive. It's like the dead man that Paul wrote about in Romans that is attached to his body. When he's speaking of the fact, oh, I'm miserable, how can I get rid of this? And what they would do back then, they would put a dead body to someone that was condemned, and literally that body would rot on them, and they would get diseases all over them, and they would die because what was attached to them. That's the way it is. Study that passage of Scripture. That's what it speaks of. And sometimes we walk around. We want to do better for God. Oh, we want to fulfill God. We want to teach. We want to preach. We want to go out and witness. We'll do this, but God, I can't, because I was too bad. But I thank God today that there's something that can set us free. Hallelujah, that can take the chain away from us, that can set us free, that we can work for God today. Hallelujah. See, the enemy wants us to stay in the past, because if we're living there, we're living in a place that does not exist anymore. And when it doesn't exist, there's no power in it, there's no future in it, and there's no life in it. And this is what he wants to keep us in at those moments. Hold us captive. Isaiah 43:18, and this is what he gives the children of Israel. He says to them that are being held captive at that moment, he says, forget what happened. And it doesn't get much clearer than I'm reading the Message, if you want to know where that came from. All these scriptures are on the app. And it says, don't keep going over old history. Listen, history's good. We don't need to do away with history. We can learn from history. Don't keep going over old history. The New American Standard says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder. I love that. Ponder is an old Texas word. Amen. Ponder on that for a minute or two. Think about it. It says, do not ponder on the things of old. In other words, don't meditate on it. Don't let it become part of you. Can I tell you this morning, if you quit living in the past, if we're going to quit living in the past, we must stop rehearsing the past in your mind. Our imagination is a wonderful thing. Our mind is a wonderful thing. But sometimes we just keep doing a loop. It's like a reel that never stops. And we just keep watching and watching and watching and watching and watching. And guess what it does? At the end of the day, before you get ready to go to bed, you're so drained and you haven't done anything. We let things rehearse how it should have been different or how it all went. And we need to let that go. If we want to leave the past, the Bible tells us we've got to quit rehearsing it over and over. Quit pondering on it. Let it go. Don't think upon it. Don't meditate upon it. If you want to pass that. I had a man one time tell me he was trying to quit dipping snuff. I believe that's a good thing, to quit dipping snuff. He dipped Copenhagen, I believe it was. And he said, Pastor, I'm trying. And all he did was talk about how he's quitting. I said, won't you just quit talking about it? Because every time you mentioned Copenhagen, it was like the brain went off. I had to have some. The thing is, and we don't realize, and it's hard. I get it. I understand it. I'm not standing up here as a man that has not wrestled with the past. But there comes a point that you got to rehearsing. If you want to go forward, God is telling them not to be thinking about he's got something. Listen, he's got something better for them. He's got some future that's better. Philippians 3:13 said, I'm going to go there just for a minute. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is Paul. But one thing I do, forgetting those things. What things? All the good things, bad things, and the ugly things in his life, he forgets those. All the amazing accomplishments that he made, laying hands on people, getting well, and all these things. And also, he's got to forget how they laid their clothes at his feet when they stoned Stephen. Hey, I don't know about you, but that'd be a tough one. And maybe he's got to remember forget all the screaming kids that he had arrested and the families thrown in jail because they were part of the way, part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, part of the church. Paul had to wrestle. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. I know it's tough. I'm not preaching something that's easy, but I know it's something that happens in every one of our minds. And we get into this continually rehearsing. We get into this holding pattern. But listen, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward. Reaching forward. Forgetting the things that are behind literally means neglecting the past. Now, I don't know about you, but we can see things that are neglected. Always, when I'm driving out in the country, sometimes I see an old house out there, and I thought, man, that would be a great place to live, but it's all ran down. What happened? It got neglected sometime. Come on, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I says, you're neglected. I mean, you get what I'm saying. You know, when you neglect something, it starts to go down. And when you don't give it attention, I have found out, I went to a church just the other day and it's been neglected. Now it needs a lot of work on it versus keeping on top of things. When we neglect something, it starts to disappear. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, forgetting what he was saying. I'm going to neglect the past. I'm not going to give it any attention. My friend, let me tell you something. Some of you don't give yourself attention all week. We'll know it. We'll smell you before we see you. Neglecting is what it means, is to let it go. Don't give it any more attention. Every time we go there, we bring it back to life. But if we just say, I'm done with it, and forget it altogether, watch what happens in your life. It's what God's telling them. Verse 18 very clearly says to move on. Move on. Next point is aim to live in the now. Verse 19, aim to live in the now. I want to neglect, I want to forget, I want to quit rehearsing, and I want to get a new aim. I want to live in the now, where I'm at today. Listen, if we all have reasons to hang out in the past, but can I tell you, there's nothing there for you. There's no life there. There's no joy there. All there is old memories, and you're not living. When we're in the past, we can't live. So if I want to move out, first I got to neglect it, forget it, go on, leave it behind me, and now I got to make my mind up. I'm aiming for the now. What is the definition of now? At the present time of the moment that we are right now. Amen. This very present moment in our life is that time frame that we are to aim at. You know, is God more apt to do things in 1965 than he is in 2026? No, we know that. God is still alive and on the throne. And Jesus is at the right-hand side. We understand that. But we must choose to live today. He was telling those in captivity, forget about everything behind you and choose to live right now. Can I tell you, there was places that they could find some joy, because he spoke to one of the kings. Lead them all the way, let them go into captivity. You're going to have homes, you're going to have a place of enjoyment, but they ignored him. I don't know what your situation is today, but I think you need to let the past go and you need to make your mind up. You're going to live now. You're going to enjoy life. I was barbecuing the other night when it rained a little bit, and I'm longing for the mountains. Now, I was under the carport, which has kind of got some tin on it, and the smoke from the pit boss was in the air, and the rain, it was cooler, and I said, you know what? This is just as good as the mountains. I don't do that very often, barbecue. I don't very often cook, but it was good. But I made my mind up, and you have to make your mind up. I don't know what your situation is, but the Lord is saying, live now. Enjoy life now. Make your mind up that you're going to be happy. Amen. Be happy. It'll make your enemies mad. I'm just saying, rejoice a little bit and live in the time that we're in. It doesn't just happen. You have to aim at it. You have to make your mind up. I don't know what phase of life you are or what's holding you back, but until you leave things behind you and aim at the future, you'll never be happy. Listen, Hebrews 3:13 says this, you must warn each other every day while it is today. That speaks of current. That speaks of now. It tells us to aim to live in the now life. Because listen, what's done's done, and I'm thankful for good stories, but God is a God of the present. Let me say that. God is a God of the present. Right now, he says, I am. Verse 18 and 19 is clear that he's saying, I will do something today if we will but let him. Live in today. Choose. He says a new thing in that passage of scripture. How many of you like new things? Amen. New things aren't bad. I was hoping to get a new cell phone the other day. Well, it wouldn't be new to me, but my daughter don't have an iPhone anymore, and she's Android, and I don't want an Android, but every now and then I get a new thing, new to me thing. How about that? And it's good to have new to me things, right? We all enjoy this. You know, God was saying, I'm going to bring a new thing. You know, how about when it comes to church, are you ready for a new thing? Sometimes we get so bent into traditions we can't have a new thing. But I want to tell you what God's telling them. They're in captivity. He said, I'm fixing to bring a new thing in your life. He says, listen to this. I can make a road in the wilderness. Listen to that. Just I want that to get in your spirit and this because there's a new thing. And he says, I can make rivers in the desert. Church, God can do a new thing in our lives and also in the church. I believe with all my heart. I don't know where you're at, but I want you to hear this. God wants to do a new thing this morning. He wants to make whatever dryness you're in, he wants to bring a river. Whatever wilderness or desert you're in, he wants to bring a new road. God is able to bring a new thing in your life, my friend. We don't have to say it's overdone and finished, but God is in the present, and God, hallelujah, is able to do a new thing in our life today. New joy, hallelujah, new happiness. Oh, praise God, he's able to do new things today. Come on, we're not just stuck. God is able. He's telling, listen, I know where you're at, but I'm going to do a new thing in your life. Oh, how many of you need a new road? How many need some water in your desert? Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Lord can make a flower come up in a desert. Amen. God can do a new thing in our lives. Oh, I want it so bad in this church. Amen. I'm not talking about changing everything. I'm ready for God to move. Amen. He's willing. He's willing to do that. But we must live in the now if we're going to see the new thing. We can't live in the past. He's leave the past. We must live in the now. Another thing is sustain your now with his hope. Sustain your now with his hope. Hope is an amazing word. Hope is something that can keep a person going. When we have hope, and I'm not talking about false hope. When my hope is planted in the Lord, that makes the difference. When everything looks terrible, when my hope is planted in him, I can find, when God's speaking to me to live in the now, right now, my now may not look all that good. But I want to tell you, you want to know how your now can get better? Is when you start to sustain it with the hope that God is doing something in your life. I'm going to tell you, God can bring a hope that is there. It's a certain type of hope. I remember in Acts chapter 1, he tells us to look for that same Jesus that went up in the same like manner. Oh, what am I hoping for today? I know some of you are with me this morning. My hope in the midst of what we're living in today is that Jesus would come back soon. I'm just saying that's the hope that we have. What have I sustained myself? Has I done that over and over in my life? Many times when things look bad and things are down, it's the hope of God that sustains me in my presence. or in the presence that I'm living in. That very moment, it's God's going to make something better. He says to them, he's going to make a new road. He's going to bring a river in a desert. Oh, it's that hope. When God speaks into our life, we understand he's speaking hope into their situation. Are they still captive? Yes, they are. Are they still under captivity that people are telling them what to do? Yes, they are. But what's he doing? He's bringing a hope that's going to sustain them through the next 65 years or however many years is left. He's encouraging them to hang in there. We need that hope in our lives. That hope that makes things. You know, there's a story of the experiment with the rat. How many of you have ever heard that story? They took a rat, or several rats, and they'd put them in some little water, and they'd swim, and they would time how long it would take them to drown. And all of them drowned about the same time. But they tried one thing with another one. Put him in, and right before that time was, before he was to drown, they pulled him back out. I know, it's cruel. This wasn't me doing this. But they put him back in. And you know what he did? He swam way past what the rest of them and what he was about to drown. Why? Because he had hope that they were going to reach in and pull him out and rescue him once again. Hope is a mighty thing. And we can put our hope in false things. We can hope for a raise. We can hope for all kinds of things. But can I tell you today, you will never go wrong by putting your hope in God, because God can make a way. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. God can make a way. He's not man that his arm is shortened. He's still as strong as he was and will be. God brings a way when there looks like there's no way. Man, there are so many songs, so many cliches that speak of the hope that we have. Church, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed and I thought, God, I don't know how it's ever going to happen. And you know what I'm reminded of when I'm praying? God is able. God is able. Let me say it. God is able. We don't serve a God of wood or a God of metal. Everything that he says in his word will come to pass. And when he speaks hope into our life, we need to grab a hold of it. We need to let go and grab on to what God is saying in our life. See, God was trying to give them hope for a future, a hope that would sustain them right now, that would feed them in the bad times. They would say, hey, this too shall pass. There's going to be an end to this thing. You know what? What's difficult for us is when we can't see the end. Wouldn't it be great to say, hey, God, when's this going to change in my life? And he gave us the date, hey, June 29. 2026, we'd all be rejoicing today, right? We'd be, oh, right, just another 24-hour period. But the fact is, he doesn't do that. But he does tell us to hang in there. Because they're hearing this message in a time of captivity, in a time that they needed it, and God was trying to give them hope for the future in their life. And he's also letting them know he was still a miracle working God that has a stake in the future of Israel, and he has a stake in each one of our lives. In our lives, he cares about what happens to us. He brought a word for them to ponder on, to think about, and to bring hope into their life. They needed to tuck this word into their hope, in their hearts, and meditate on it and speak it and let it come to pass in their life. There's power, there's life and death in the tongue. Lord, I don't know how, but I know you can. Lord, I don't like the present situation, but I know it can change. Speak what God speaks into our life that we can believe it. Hope for now. Jesus gives us that hope. You know, we have power for now to sustain us, and God is able to help us, gives us hope in the situation that we're in. Can I ask you this morning, what word has God given you for now? What word are you hanging on for your situation right now? What word have you found here that God has spoken to your spirit and that you're hanging on to? It is to sustain you until it comes to pass. Let it be part of your life. Speak it. Live it. Because there's faith in speaking and there's power of life in it also. Church, I ask you, what hope do we have in this church? What hope? Where's the hope for San Jacinto? What are we looking at? Did you know there was a word that was spoken over this church many decades ago that we will be a light? I'm still hanging on to it, amen? I'm believing God can do amazing things. I believe by faith, I speak it, I believe it to come to pass because God is a God that gives us hope. But it's not only the hope that God was trying to do, but I think the last thing that we need to look at is to trust in His strength. Trust in His strength. In verses 7 through 13, I want to read that to you. He expresses His ability. You know, I think it's important where we put our hope and understand that the one that's speaking hope to Israel here and the one that gives us hope in our life is able to do it. You know, I've said some things that I wasn't able to back up when I was younger. And I know that's this way we grow up. Say, well, I'm going to whip you, and all of a sudden I got whooped, you know. But that's the way life was back growing up. I don't know how many times I told my older brother that until I had it done. Can't remember when that was, but I'm just saying sometimes we can say things, you know, and God says this to them. He says, I want you to let the past go. I want you to live in the now because I'm going to do a new thing in your life. But He also reassures them with His strength that He's able to do it. Look at verses 7 through 13. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it truth. You are my witnesses, the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. You may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Listen to that. He's saying, before me there was no other God, and there is no other God. And nor shall there be after me. He's saying very clearly, I am the only God. I am the God that's able, the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God is what he's speaking of. I am, and besides me there is no Savior. He's saying to them, there's no other one that can help you. He's saying, I am able to do what I'm saying. I've declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reserve it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. God is saying to them very clearly and sustaining them with hope, but he's also saying that he is able to do what he proclaims. How many of you believe today that God's able to work in your life? God's able. Sister Becky, can you come to the piano? God is able to do what he says. One of our hardest things to believe, and he's trying to get them to move. He's trying to get them to let it all go behind and let him do a new thing. Did you know if you study the history of Israel, he did everything he said he would. There came a day when a new king was there instead of the Babylonians, and he got them released, and they came back and built the walls. Nehemiah did that. Ezra came back and built the temple. They poured the new foundation. You know, when Ezekiel spoke of the fact that will these bones, will they live again? He was speaking to Israel in their captivity. He was speaking because Israel was so down and depressed. They say, we're over as a nation, we're over as a people. And he spoke through Ezekiel. He says, prophesy to those bones. And those bones came up. Put some. He pressed, prophesy again. And skin came on them. What was God doing? In the same manner I'm preaching this morning over here in the book of Isaiah, God was speaking through another prophet, Ezekiel. He's saying, you will live again. He says, I'm able to do it. He was speaking hope in their situation, but you got to forget back there and you got to live now because I'm going to do a new thing in your life. Folks, he's saying it to us today. I know the whole story is toward Israel, but God speaks the same thing into our lives today that he's able to do a new thing. So I don't know about you this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're hung up, you're rehearsing everything in your life, why you can't serve God, or maybe you just don't feel worthy. Let me tell you, there's not a one of us here today that are worthy. What makes us worthy before God is the blood of Jesus Christ and his spirit that is upon us. God changes us. Amen. He makes new men, new women out of us. And he calls us into a new kingdom. I'm no longer just a citizen of the USA, but I'm a citizen of heaven up above. Hallelujah. I'm on the right team. I'm on God's team. And I'm part of the family of God now. That's what God does. I want you to understand, it's the devil that's speaking into your mind. It's the devil that speaks over this church, says, hey, we'll never get any further than what we are today. But I got news for you. The devil has not spoke hope into my life. God has. Hallelujah. And God will do amazing things. Because it's God that speaks. And it's God that's able. The enemy can say he can do a lot of things. But listen, God sends one angel from heaven, ties that angel up, ties that devil up and throws him in a pit for 1,000 years. Releases him for a moment and then drags him into the lake of fire. Who? Our God. Our God that says, I'm going to do a new thing. Our God that says, hey, I want to sustain you with hope this morning. You believe it this morning? In the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah.